1 watt per pound is the gateway to outdoor riding on this episode of the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast.
Hi, this is Amy, the Senior Group Fitness Instructor at the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast. Are you looking for a spark of inspiration to bring to your next class? Find us at indoorcycleinstructor.com.
John McGowan, the host of the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast. You can find us, as always, at indoorcycleinstructor.com. Joining me today is our resident indoor cycling power training guru, Gino Nacy. How are you, Gino?
Good, John. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm just excited to have you. We're going to be talking about, you know, what you've really defined as, and I think you were the guy that defined, you know, 1 watt of power per pound of body weight is really the gateway to transitioning from an indoor cyclist to an outdoor cyclist.
Yeah, it started as I began working with a lot of actually non-outdoor cyclists at our club. And of course, with my quest to bring the indoor and outdoor world together through cycling fusion, I'm always keen to introduce folks to riding outside. Well, the problem is we live in Pennsylvania. So unless you stay on the rail trails, which is fine and a lot of fun, and I still do them, which they're predominantly flat. They can only be at 3%. But if you want to leave the rail trail and do some back roads, some country roads, which are really pretty around here in PA, you have to know how to climb.
No, and I will attest to that. I think we've talked before where I was out there and just the road to get to your house is bigger than just about any climb I can experience here in Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't get the benefit of a warm up when I leave my house to go ride. It's like immediately start climbing in almost any direction I go. I live in a valley.
Oh yeah, and just getting out of your driveway is all uphill.
Yeah.
When you talk about 1 watt per pound as the gateway to outdoor riding, what is it that you're describing?
Whenever you work with power, it always is in relationship to the weight per force ratio. It's not just how many watts did I produce, but it's the weight ratio. So for example, when you're in class and you're on a bike with a power meter, if a 120-pound woman pushes 200 watts, that's pretty impressive. But if a 240-pound guy only pushes 200 watts, well, that's not
pathetic.
So impressive. Yeah, that's not so good. And because it's a function of your weight, that it really is how many watts per pound of body weight that is going to propel you up any climb or up any hill. And so when I was taking folks outside, and we have every spring we take a group outside, some could climb better than others. And probably a third had to dismount halfway up the hill or at some point going up the hill. And so when we came back in, it was pretty consistent. Everybody was under a watt per pound. The common jargon is watts per kilogram, but people can't do that math in their head easily. So it just became much easier to discuss it as, you know, on a per pound basis.
Just to clarify, so what you're saying is that if I'm at 160 pounds and I'm creating 160 watts of power, and a woman is on my left, and she's 110 pounds, and she's creating 110 watts, and some monster to my right is 250 pounds, and he's creating 250 watts, we're all going up the hill at the same speed.
Exactly. And that's the best way to think of it. The same pitch of the hill, same hill, you're all going to travel at the same pace. You're going to be right together, and you're all producing different watts
in relationship to the amount of gravity that we're all experiencing.
So yeah, so that's the key, is for your body weight, being able to produce that 1 watt a pound and being able to sustain it. I mean, if you can only produce it for a few minutes, that's not quite going to do it, because your heart rate will peak and then you'll get exhausted and then you'll have to dismount, and that's what happens. You know, everyone can hold it for a few seconds or maybe a minute or two, but at least in PA, the average climb is probably 3 to 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So you need to be able to sustain it for at least that long.
And they're kind of what we would call blowing up halfway.
Right. Their heart rate gets too high. And that's what we call our limiters. And today we just went live on the Cycling Fusion site with our ebook called Power Training. We've been working on that. Well, I say we because all my clients here are sort of my lab participants and all of the validation work I've done on it. But the ebook talks about in an early chapter what I call limiters. And these are the different aspects of your physiology that are going to prevent you from hitting power numbers that you want to hit. VO2 max is one of the most important limiters, and your threshold heart rate as well. So your cardiovascular system is going to limit you from getting to your power objectives if you don't also improve that. So when we start a person on a program of improving their power, we first start with the heart rate training, heart zone training. And as we see their sustainability improve, their ability to go at higher heart rates longer, we can see their VO2. We can measure the VO2 increases with our metabolic testing. And then we can start to see some of the power numbers increase. That becomes sort of the foundation. We first want to sort of take the lid off a bit, is one of the ways to think about it, so that we have a more of a ceiling to work in heart-wise. So once we have that foundation and we've sort of increased our cardiovascular ceiling, then we really start to focus on the power numbers, start building strength in the legs, start doing what we call, it's the most common form of power improvements, are called 2x20s. That's two separate efforts, 20 minutes long, trying to keep the maximum power you can held steady for those 20 minutes.
Similar to a threshold, essentially.
Yes, some people call it functional threshold power. We just call it maximum sustainable power because it's the most you can sustain in 1 hour. However, the test only takes 20 minutes.
All right. And that would be the same power that if you're riding by yourself, that you would be climbing your very steep hills at.
Actually, in terms of climbing your steep hills, there's climbing power that's going to be at a higher rate than your maximum sustainable power for 20 minutes. First of all, there aren't, even in Pennsylvania, many climbs that are 20 minutes long. Those you're looking at, I call those European climbs, your Alps and your maybe Colorado certainly would have that. But the percent grade is lower, and those are the long, long grinders. But especially in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, even upper state New York, you have hills that are double digits in steepness. Well, you're not going to, typically those are not going to be 20 minutes long. They're 3 to 5 minute climbs. But because of their steepness, they're going to require more than 1 watt a pound. And so even though 1 watt a pound will get you to climb most hills, you're going to have to put out above that for shorter periods. And that's one of the reasons that 1 watt per pound is sort of that gateway. If you can hold that for 20 minutes, you generally can go to 1.2 or 1.3 for 3 minutes or 4 minutes.
Okay. And you have specific training within this ebook to help people, as an instructor, lead your class, you know, through these training programs.
Different types of power, right? We call them three different power zones. There's sustainable power, which is your 20-minute or your longer power. There's climbing power, which is basically a 3 or a 5 minute power. So you're going to go for different power levels in either 3 or 5 minutes. And then we have what's called explosive power, and that's 1 minute power. Now that's more for not only super steeps like what we refer to as walls, you know, you mm-hmm. climb the wall today. There's only a couple hills like that out here, but more to the point is for sprints. You know, extremely explosive efforts. If you're a racer, you'll do breakaways and sprints with that power. And frankly, the average cyclist, if they don't compete, if they don't race, they'll probably never need explosive power. But virtually everyone needs sustainable power and climbing power.
Okay, now you're teaching on Kaiser M3s that have power with the power readouts. Is there something specific to them, or would anyone with either a Schwinn or a Kaiser or a Cyclops power-based bike be able to use your training?
This has been written specifically for the indoor cycling crowd, for any stationary bike with power. It's not specific to the Kaiser, although the Kaiser M3 is what we did all of our work on. But they're just simply watts per, the zones are based on watts per pound. There are two charts. There's an indoor chart and an outdoor chart. We simply had to create that because the variation in every class was so enormous, from folks that don't ride at all and frankly don't have an interest to go outside to ride, all the way up to those that do a lot of charity rides and compete in races. And so we needed a chart that would really work for each of them to challenge each of them. So the ones working on the indoor chart, which are lower power numbers, as long as they continue to work up the zones and work up their power, they'll get fitter. They'll break through plateaus, which has already happened for weight loss and for toning and for just higher fitness levels. It's all based on watts per pound, so it really doesn't matter what specific bike you're on. It'll still work. It'll still help you improve your power.
And you have examples of those training charts that you have available for sale at cyclingfusion.com.
Yes, we're in the store. We not only have the ebook for sale, and in the ebook, you'll actually be able to print out 8.5 by 11 sheets and, say, put them in a plastic sleeve. We also have a template for a power card that's an Avery template. So you get those sort of like your personal charts and personal power cards, and then you can actually buy wall charts too for your classroom if you're working in a facility that may want to put up power charts in their classroom as well. Those are the 2-foot by 3-foot type framed posters or just mounted posters.
All right. But essentially what it allows someone to do is really personalize their training. It doesn't become a one-size-fits-all. People can look at their personal, know their body weight. They don't have to share it with everybody else, but really come up with the numbers that they should be working at or at least striving for.
It's interesting. This card has evolved over probably 2.5 years. First, we were using a card for heart zones, and then when we got the power bikes with power. So now we've created one card, prints out 2 per sheet on an Avery template. And on one side, we have your indoor power numbers. So you look at your weight, and you can put down what your power levels are for each of the 3 zones, sustainable, climbing, and explosive. And on the other, on the sidebar, you have your bike fin information, seat height, handlebar, fore and aft, seat fore and aft.
All right. This is a little card that somebody's just going to carry in their gym bag and bring to class.
Actually, what we do is we have it in a box that's separated by... alphabetically with dividers right in the room so they never forget it.
Oh, perfect.
Because people tend to forget it. So they just come and they grab their card when they work out and they put it back when they're done. And the other side of the card is their outdoor power numbers and their heart zones information based on their own specific threshold or anchor point heart-wise. So in one card, they can work with their heart rate workouts, their power workouts, and everything's in one place. It's been really super convenient, and that comes with the ebook as well so they can print them out and use them for themselves or their students.
You know, one question I've always wanted to ask you, and even when we're just, you and I are just chatting, I keep forgetting to ask, but I'm going to ask it now. And that is, you made the transition from spinner bikes, conventional indoor cycling bikes, to power-based bikes. What was the reaction of the students that you're teaching? And let me explain what I mean by that is that it's my observation that there's a lot of people that fool themselves as to the amount of work they're doing on a conventional bike that you don't have the opportunity to cheat on with a bike that's telling you how much power. Did you have any pushback or interesting stories of people that were transitioning, maybe a little bit surprised?
Actually, I do. The even though from the very beginning, we always emphasized having enough resistance, and you can say that to your blue in the face, so to speak, and I'm sure a lot of your instructors know exactly what I'm saying. But once we got the power bikes, well, the first thing they noticed is how smooth the M3s were. I mean, that's like a given that it's hugely obvious. But then the second thing is, as the few people that we knew were spinning with little to no resistance, and they saw our charts. Our charts start at 0.5 watts per pound, even the indoor chart. That's the lowest power level. And that's sort of not a bad warm-up. You might actually warm up a little bit below that, but say about 10 minutes into your warm-up, you should easily be at 0.5 watts per pound. Well, some people were there at the middle of their workout. It's okay to tell folks, let's try to get to 0.75 watts per pound, or we want to have a goal of 1 watt a pound. I know you might not be there, but let's work our way towards it. So it doesn't matter what folks' weights are. You can sort of keep everyone together that way. Well, a number of these folks really were struggling just to get to 0.75 watts per pound. And so it gave them a tangible goal. And I don't have a single one of them now that I can look out and see them just sort of flying with no resistance and seeing their hips pop and that sort of thing. That is completely gone away simply because they have a way to keep themselves honest, basically.
To their credit, I think, you know, the industry has misled them in so many ways that, you know, they publish numbers of calories burned and somehow that's applicable to everyone. And as I've talked before, you know, we're waiting to get our power bikes, and I've made the comment that people are possibly going to be A, very excited, or B, want to tape over the readings.
At least at first you'll get some of that. But you know what, the interesting thing, especially on, I have a 16-week, what I call winter training program, folks, that some of them started literally the best they could do for 20 minutes was 0.8 watts per pound. I mean, and they were working hard. That I'm thinking of a couple individuals right now that are well over 1.2 watts per pound. And, you know, they are incredibly proud of that. They're very anxious to start riding more outside. These are folks, too, that have basically just been doing rail trails.
Mm-hmm.
Very casual cyclists, and then they're going to do their first charity ride. So you could really track your progress unlike ever before.
Well, so you're actually affecting the training that they've actually wanted.
Exactly. And they have a way, you know, now you actually can record something. If you're a kind of person that likes to, you know, some people go to the gym, they like to keep track of how many sets they do and reps and to keep track of their level of training, right? Well, now you can do that on the bike, because even if it's at home on a piece of paper or on a spreadsheet or whatever, but at least you have some sort of indicator that you can track. And that, of course, is the key to improvement, is being able to monitor and track your progress. And we talk about that in the ebook quite a bit, too, and what to keep track of and how and that sort of thing.
Gene, what else is there that we should know about your power training ebook?
Well, there's just a couple of the highlights. One, it is really addressing both the cyclist and the non-cyclist, in that there's an emphasis that it's not just about riding outside. It's about improving fitness. This is one of the best things to help people to break through a plateau if they've experienced it. There are three charts. There's 41 different figures and tables and illustrations. There's 8 complete sample workouts, especially for the instructors out there. This is for anyone. This is for just folks that have trained with power indoors or for instructors. But specifically for the instructors, I made sure there's a bunch of sample workouts. And to that point, at the end of every chapter, there's a special section called Power Notes for Instructors. So if they're like me, very busy, can't get through a whole book without several readings, they just skim through the Power Notes for Instructors, they'll probably feel pretty good going into their first class teaching with power.
All right, perfect. Where can people find this?
The ebook is accessible through the Cycling Fusion website. If you go to the main, cyclingfusion.com, and then you'll see a big link at the top that says Our Store. You click on that, and you'll see not only the ebook, but also various forms of the power chart. We're selling our power charts either just laminated or mounted or also framed. And they can order it in, you know, any flavor, so to speak.
this is so cool, Gene. I've got this front row seat to, you know, what we've been calling indoor cycling 2.0, and I'm just feeling like we're just so on the cusp of all this. It's very exciting. So I really wish you a lot of luck with this.
Thanks, John. It has been sort of a long time coming. It's sort of like we knew the tools were there, but they hadn't made their way indoors with enough, I guess, momentum behind them. I think there really is the momentum now to see the whole indoor cycling 2.0 come about.
Hooray. Well, thanks for joining us. And if people have any specific questions, how do they contact you?
Contact link at the bottom of the homepage. You can also just email me at gene@cyclingfusion.com.
And we'll look for more articles from you on the Indoor Cycle Instructor site. So again, thanks, Gene. Appreciate having you on today.
My pleasure, John. Thanks.